Blog Talk Radio.
Never violate the codes of the streets, and I would never make a promise that I know I couldn't keep, and I would never testify, cop out for a plea, or surrender information on my boys to the police, and you could never catch me on the block without a strap, and I would never pull it out unless I'm out to black, and I could never forget my homies dying for their scratch, but ever pouring out liquor for them, God to the back, and I would.
Appreciate you coming out to fuck with him in the building. I see y'all out there, man. I just want y'all to know one motherfucking thing. I would never, ever violate the codes in the streets, and I would never make a promise that I know I couldn't keep it out.
Hands up, eyes open, the fist clear. Face and leave some of this shit. This should be the chairman checking in. Now, when I say cold of the sea, we talking about the path of clubs. Not trying to party clubs, that is. I would never violate the cold of the sea. Would never speak nor serve the interests of our enemies. And if I say that I'm with you, we'll come get you. You best believe that like bad luggage, we'll never leave. Now, of course, I can never say that I never will go broke. Because sad to say that we ain't never had this shit roll. Well, I can never say how it's gonna go. One thing for sure, two things for certain. They know to shut up motherfuckers like us. They gonna have to kill us, close up in the casket. Read a quick verse and close the motherfucking curtains.
Never be sad, I would, I like a hoe. Never been drunk, I'll never let it slide. Never let it go. Never ever, never ever ever. No, get on my level, hoe. Or go get a shovel, hoe. It's never in question for my manhood, I get down. I'll never switch, never stick, never sit down. I never hesitate to squeeze a nigga six rounds. I'll never squat to take a piss, who's the bitch now?
I would never put profit over politics, principle, nor our people. I would never sell my soul. Never put bullshit over business and never place good upon the evil. You see, why I'm determined to die before being dishonored. Committed to being captured and killed before being capitulated. And that would be perfected, pushing this shit to the motherfucking limit. And if need be, pull the motherfucking trigger with a pistol without no hesitation. I will cast a cover to my last drop, to my last goddamn roar. And we'll never forget what them pigs did at 4:35 a.m. in 1969 Chicago on December the 4th. Never, never, never.
I never ran, I never will, I ain't never scared. It's in my bloodline, the realest nigga ever bred. And that's some of the realest shit that I done ever said. And I can die, but through my lyrics, I ain't never dead. I never disrespect my mama, never disrespect her mama neither. I never turn my back on Jesus. I never get caught off in the system, I believe her. Man that follows man, ain't a man, and I'm a leader.
I will never cross my comrades and never forsake our fight for freedom. And if you listen to my second verse, let me say it again just in case y'all want to listen. I will never put profit over politics, principle, nor our people. I will never disrespect the legacy of Minister UEP. Never betray the Black Panther Party. And never bow down and lay down a legacy at the feet of our enemies. Never, never, never. I am a Panther cub by birth and by battle. This is my bloodline and my prison time. And when it be, by wherever enemy, if they try to hijack this legacy, wherever it be, not on our watch, for we'll never, never, never have it. Never, 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 never.
Never gon' turn cold, my nigga, I can never trade. I never cross my homies out, that ain't how I'm made. And I never had not one regret on how I was raised. I'm from the ghetto, where I slung and rapped it every day. Never do no other way, this ain't gon' never change. Never gon' bite my tongue, fuck what a nigga say. 100 with myself, I swear to God I stay the same. And when I finally got my paper, I was on my game. Never talk a nigga down, do your thing, dawg. Never hate a dude for trying, that's insane, dawg. Get your motherfucking money, that's the thing, dawg. Too many homies die young, feel my pain, y'all.
October 23rd, 24th, 2016. All roads lead to Oakland, California. Lonely legacy of Black Panther Party. Protected, respected, and never, never neglected. Never, never.
the griddle in the middle like Mooney. You're phony cause your style's baloney, but I rock no filler. Ain't a girl in Sierra putting rappers on ice and lock the bodies in the chiller. The way you bust it up, I'll chuck nasty style like throw up, blow up, then go nuts like a lady ninja killer. I feel you deep beneath the surface. It's the rays from Page, I heat it up like a furnace. My steel got smoke, check the gamma ray from the She-Hulk. Stomping through your territory, new rap female category winner. And your style gets played out like the spinners. Not a soprano, an alto, the rage is a tenor. My voice is just right, I bust hypodermic to get in the mind's eye. Making you hip-hop junkies wanna fly like eagles. My style short but cathedral steeples. Showing and proving even a lady can be diesel. So I break a breaker, you best keep on trucking. And roll on with that chicken shit that's plucking. You're stuck in, stupid, you doofus. I'm rhyming so hard I'm knocking out your toothin'. A teacher, believe this shit, but head just get played out like beavers. It's yours, lyrical murderer, still rocking on.
Rock on, rock on. The lady you raised, lyrical murderer, the baddest lyricist.
Now I'm an explosive vocalist, make you readjust your focus. No hocus pocus, no bogus, I'm the dopest. Lyrically the locust, what? It's so copacetic. I see through your synthetics with my telekinetics. I mean my telepathics from this mouth of madness. Flows one of the baddest in existence. My existence is prevalent, hesitant not. You'll get dropped, I'm rhyming so hard I see you knocking out. Vision to me, if you can't touch it, not even a smidgen to me. Your pigeon shit to me, so drop it, drop it.
Damn, hit this shit,
I take a puff and I blow up like Moby, running lyrics quicker than Toby. What's my name? Yeah, you know me. Rage, lyrical murderer. What's my name? Yeah, you rage, lyrical murderer. Yeah, you know me. So if you wanna see me, turn on your headlights. I make you run red lights, trying to catch it, slamming through the radio and the wreckage. Towed away, blowed away, cut down, mowed away, curled up like Ola Ray. So let me straighten it out, cause I'm a thriller, motherfucking MC cold killer. When I cock back, you better drop that, yo hop back, I rock at the dawn, yes I'm still rock on.
Rock on, rock on, the lady you raised, lyrical murderer, the baddest lyricist born. Rock on, rock on, the lady you raised, lyrical murderer, the baddest lyricist born.
Now when it comes to the hippest and hip-hop, I make the lips drop, knees not buckle and shake. Now who's to make the wrong move? Get dusted, busted, whack MCs who can't cut the mustard. I stick it to you like voodoo, so who do you think you're fooling? Not Rick but ruling. You couldn't hang with the new,
you what?
Your goose will get cooked,
you what?
Look up in the sky,
why?
The fly robin fly, giving you whatever suits. You got the size 8 Timberlands to boot ya. Oops upside your head. Hey yo, I'm singing red like a bull. Baby, I got the pull of a knock. Fox me because I'm foxy like Brown. Break it down now.
What?
From the end to the start, lyrical murderer. Pump spearing hearts, I'm tearing parts to pieces like Reese's. I freak it, speak it in tongues. Put you on like Benita Applebaum. You can't see me, you're blind to the fact that I'm on deck. Swinging on the wax, striking them out like that. Hats off, blast off. Watch me rock it, sock it to ya. Whatever it takes to do ya. Done,
done.
Top gun. It's the lady of rage, still rated number one, motherfucker.
Grandma Chairman, we're live on Blog Talk.
any of you a black organization that's on the revolutionary organization. You know, Field Marshal George Jackson said that capitalism not only affects the economy, but it affects the mindset of the psyche. It not only affects the economy, but it affects the psyche. So there's certain things that people wouldn't even, how they would move. They would never try at their religious institution. They would never try at their job or their plantation, whatever the case may be. You know what I'm saying? With the movement, it's like, you know, we had people that they're put in a certain arena, but again, and this is, in their defense, they have no frame of reference of revolutionary organization. I mean, like literally, you go back, you can do one of them DNA checks and go back to their lineage. You say, man, you have no context of no freedom fighting organization, you know. So as soon as we get these technical difficulties dealt with, we're gonna roll into phone calls. But in the meantime, between time, I don't want to do a disservice and cut our listener audience off. Got a brother here. We're gonna talk about some different issues about the youth, black children in particular, and these children concentration camps, for lack of better terms. So when we talk about that. You know what I'm saying? Mental health impacts on the floor, how to deal with that. And, you know, and not just in a broad narrative, you know, negating, you know, such major points you got to talk about. You're talking about any contradiction, race, so on and so forth. So keep in mind, stay with us. We got that issue. Also, the Mumia Abu-Jamal's court date is another court date. The long-held political prisoner, Mumia Abu-Jamal, is upcoming. And so you want to, what's the latest call? There's a campaign going out saying, what does Mumia Abu-Jamal mean to you? You know what I'm saying? So we're going to be talking about that too, doing these drops along with political prison Mumia Abu-Jamal. We're working on Up and Annie, getting the podcast set up at the Hampton House. You know, and I tell people, come in, well, you should have this, you know. And, you know, and it seems, again, it seems so easy. And they say Chicago, when they crack on you, you ain't really in tune with something. You ain't too bright. They say, bless your heart, you know. So, yeah. An MA was found there in Cook County. We talked, we had some dialogue with the mother. Of the individual, and in fact, Cassandra Greer, widow of Nicholas Lee, she even touched down with them. In fact, we may be expecting them to call in. In fact, within the last week, two more people dead in the infamous Cook County Jail. So we're waiting on the parents of one of the individuals at least to call in. And we go to about the Cook County Jail, Mumia Abu-Jamal. We're going to be talking about International Women's Day. By going down to Logan's prison. Logan, this all women prison. I'm going down there taking the soap and water, delivering water and soap down there. I'm looking there doing that this week. Okay. So, Mumia, Juvenile, what else we got on there? Comrade Chewies, our coordinator for New Orleans, Louisiana. His 70th birthday. He hears at the work with Black Panther Party comes down to New Orleans, Louisiana. He did 18 years in Angola Penitentiary. Courageous comrade. He didn't call, you know, y'all heard him before. We had to go down there a few times in regards to even Hurricane America. Well, a lot of people euphemistically refer to as Hurricane America. We had to go down and hit the ground with him down there, but his birthday is coming up this weekend. He a real humble brother, never, you know, talk about himself. In fact, we had to struggle with him about even to make his birthday a public political event. And in the process of fighting for his home, because he's, you know, saying his home down there, so it's going to be a fundraiser also. And that's Albert Chewy Clark down New Orleans, Louisiana, March 12th, I believe, March 12th. March 12th, up there. And also, I think we'll be in Alabama. We'll be in Alabama February 22nd for press conference. Lady Keith, his brother's last name, young brother, they gave him life. One down there to speak on his behalf. That's February 22nd in Alabama. And we might try to touch down the Legacy Museum also, get some ins and outs, you know, so we can up the ante with the Hampton House. And what else is on our subject matter? Let me click click over and try to call back and see if we got any luck on Blog Talk Radio real quick, y'all. 1 second.
I'm gonna
hang up and back.
Right on.
Bring him out, Jeremy. Can you hear me? Raymond, Chairman, can you hear me?
Raymond, we good?
Raymond, yeah, we're live on Block Talk.
Okay, right on. Let's roll. Okay, 6:55. What time is? Oh, see. Okay. But I'm gonna start with you. But I'm expecting the. Do we get any calls in queue? I'm expecting the GL call to come in. Are you gonna try back again right now?
Raymond, no callers in queue. Callers in queue, press 1 to speak.
Okay. Make us one. He's trying to call. Okay. To kill anybody else, if he called back, make sure you hit one. We're going to bring him right in. We're going to see the time.
Go ahead.
Calls online, make sure they press one.
Bring him on, caller.
341. Bring him on, welcome to my radio.
Yes. Hello?
Hello?
Chairman Fred.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, this is William Stanley Miller. How you doing?
Say you breaking up
anyway,
just, time, please.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me?
That's a real rough technical thing. We're gonna work it out. Those go ahead, brother. We're gonna make it happen.
Okay. Well, anyway, just to finish our conversation we were having last night, there was a group of us. They work with your Uncle Bill, and floating the idea to make the Hampton House a national landmark. And one of the suggestions that came up was, in order to help get some of the financing to do it right, is to contact the first black homecoming queen from Proviso East High School, which your brother helped to bring online. She is married to Bob Johnson, who owned BET, and we should try to contact her and appeal to her humanity, because she has ample resources to maybe help do something to put the Hampton House on financial stability.
Right on for the call. Right on, brother.
Yeah, that was just one of the ideas, try to raise some money in order to get the Hampton House stabilized.
Let me touch on for those who may be privy of what you're saying. First of all, thank you, Carlos. This is a brother who grew up in Maywood, who knew Chairman Fred even before he was Chairman Fred. Chairman Fred's alma mater was Proviso East High School. In fact, it was he graduated in 1966. The same year the Black Panther Party was birthed. That was his Greek 1966. Okay. Is your father online, kid? Hold on 1 second. Y'all forgive me. I'm a past the curve. I'm like an octopus tonight. Doing 8 different things at one time. Give me a heads up if your father's online. And if it's your father online, we're gonna bring you straight in. Because if the jail call come in, I wanna bring the jail call straight in.
I have two callers on the line, 19052 and 19954. Do you want me to bring them both in?
Okay. Now hold on 1 minute. We can finish your brother's point. Neither of those are the jail calls. Hold on. Okay, let me finish his brother's point. We just called in. We're going to bring them in. And then I'll give you a heads up when the jail call, when the jail call comes in. But let me finish his brother's point, who just called in. Some of the war stories, by the term, that Fred Hampton, who was the chairman, before he was the chairman, and ironically, his brother here today, we talked about Field Marshal George Jackson. In our first discussion, I see he talking about his youth, and he said something like, the political aspect, and my response was, everything is political. You look at, a lot of times, one of the disadvantages of being colonized, being oppressed, is you have to look back, you have to look for certain ruling class definitions of colonized, so on and so forth. But the deal is, you know what I'm saying, like, people, like, is Black Panther Party, they took those terms like socialism, capitalism out of the bookshelves and made it applicable to the everyday, to the late. And you can look at different people in their lives, you know what I'm saying, growing up, and you can see different, you know, different contradictions in their life. I look at this guy named Tyrone Powers, one of the first FBI, he was the FBI, he's a black FBI agent. He talks about even as a child, the difference between him and his brother, his biological brother. He said his brother he played cowboys and Indians. His brother won't play the Indian, he played the cowboy. His brother talked about Fred, after he said, as a child, he could relate to him. And again, this one became an FBI agent. Even his children, you can see different, you know, political aspirations, you know what I'm saying? And such forces such Field Marshal George Jackson are not detached from that. You know, and with the Black Panther Party. A lot, like, if you really look back, you know, say, it's like the politics, it really, I say that was like Chairman Fred's call. It was a fit for these forces to be service to the people. But you go back and look at different situations as children. You look back, you know, say, even for those who don't know, George, who is Field Marshal, who is drafted Field Marshal, the historical stomach grounds where the Henry Horner Projects are at, you know what I'm saying, where he grew up at, and the different dynamics, you know, contradictions he dealt with in the schools, so on and so forth. You can see some sort of line of consistency there. Fred Hampton, before he was the chairman at Proviso East High School, one of the war stories, I can't recall her name. She's the former wife of CEO of BET, Bob Johnson. And what happened was she ran for homecoming queen, she had technically won homecoming queen. The administration said they would not allow no black queen, and they brought a young white lady up. Fred Hampton challenged this contradiction. So the concession was, the administration said, okay, we're going to give out two different, one black, one white. He hiding those contradictions. Again, this is prior to him becoming a black person. And I called and saying, we want to, you know, contact these people like this again, because this is a resource a lot of people have, you know what I'm saying? Usually it's a piece of Michael K. Williams talked about, you know, the benefit of the resources of these different struggles is that the people on the ground take, and you know, it's not reciprocal. You know what I'm saying? That's, so I'm glad we're gonna put a call for her. You know what I'm saying? Find her on Twitter or whatever. You know what I'm saying? How, because she assisted with the Save Hampton House. SaveHamptonHouse.org. Donate buttons right there. Let me go bring this call in right now. Get a call in queue. I think our jail call is here right now. And thank you again, brother. This brother, he calls through all the time to the Hampton House. Whatever support he can. Call in Q. I might be a 312. Give me the first three digits. What you calling from? The jail call. My brother Justin Blake earlier called. Said, what time to call? I'm moving from political pivot, man. I really can't. You know what I'm saying? We got to see the town we dealing with. How many members do you have? I said, shit, that depends on how many people the police didn't kill.
Fremont, we have 312.
312, is that you?
Fremont, caller.
Fremont, Chairman. Can you hear me?
Fremont, yes, Fremont. Welcome to Fremont Radio. Hello?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes. Let's call it Fremont.
Fremont, this is Latrice. Tracy, I'm glad to be listening in. I'm listening in to y'all conversation. I'm just listening in. I didn't know if I could tune in and not speak.
Oh, right on, sister. Mm-hmm. Stay back with us, no doubt about it. Right on. Just stay tuned in with us. Hold on a second. Okay, kid, the jail call, is that what's the first three digits? Is he on? He's disconnected. Okay. That's one. They keep disconnected. So we playing about here, y'all. So we're going to keep rolling. And whenever you, okay, press one to get in. While we make the call, brother, introduce yourself, who we got here, and what's going to talk to them and give us the background of who we got here.
All right, I hope all is well. My name is Johnny Dima from the west side of Chicago. I was born over there. So I ended up, as I was saying, my apologies for that. My name is Johnny Davis, born and raised on the west side of Chicago, grew up on North Avenue, Atlanta, around that area. I ended up going to former high school, and from there, I ended up going to Purdue University, playing football. And after that, I ended up receiving a master's in forensic psychology. Worked at a juvenile for 3 years, and I ended up becoming a therapist. And from there, long story short, I ended up creating a therapeutic curriculum for our kids, because I didn't agree with the type of curriculum in which the therapeutic company had. I didn't feel like it was for our black kids, and they wasn't getting it. And so I took me into my own hands, and I decided to create it. Not only by myself, but within the power of God, who did that. Put it in my head and I asked him to be an open vessel. And from that, everything else flowed. Feel me?
Hold on, does Joe call in? Let us know, okay, just let us, okay, it won't be weird or nothing. Just jump in. The jail call comes in, just jump right in. Okay, kid, let me know when y'all on. We won't take this, okay. Brother, we talk, okay, so your okay, but your field is what? What field you in?
Forensic psychology. More.
That's probably that's Westside Chicago forensic psychology. That's something coming. I just met a brother. God, who was that? I forgot what field he was in, and I was coming. It was forensic psychology. I was coming. I said, is that coming for, you know, saying, for our people? And I'm curious, but you know, because our people, like, you know, who set the path? What triggered you to even engage in that forensic psychology? What triggered you? What inspired you to go in that field?
So I always say curiosity is the foundation of learning.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just curious. I was watching a serial killer movie one time, and then I ended up watching a documentary.
Mm-hmm.
And so from there, I got deep into it. I was curious about it. And so it was like,
Grandma, Chairman, we have a call for you.
Okay, Grandma, is it a jail call?
Grandma, caller.
Grandma,
yes. The phone keeps hanging up. Every time I connect with you guys, it hangs right up from the jail call.
Yeah. They on their job. We got up there on our job, no doubt about it. Okay, talk to me until he calls you back. Give us a little background. You know, the deal, I mean, you got to be his voice. You got to be his voice when he can't speak. You know what I'm saying? So I need you to give us a little background. You know what I'm saying? How long he's been locked up? Who is he to you? You know what I'm saying? And then if he click back in, you feel me? You hang up and move fast. Click it right back in. You know what I'm saying? But right now, break the ice for us. And I need y'all.
Okay.
Multitask with us, listeners and viewers. This subject, don't forget this subject we're talking about. Bear with us. We're going to connect all the dots. You know what I'm saying? So bear with us. I know a lot of people need you to say, you know, stick with one subject, but we got to be on a political pivot. We got to be on a political pivot. So who are you? Needs to tell us, you know what I'm saying, the connection, the significance of who we're waiting on to call back in.
Okay. My name is Kaikia Pettis. I'm calling for my father. His name is Tyrone Pettis. He has been locked up for over 25 years for a crime that he did not commit. So basically, he's been locked up since 1998. They never gave him a chance to, like, plead his case. He's not saying that he did not, you know, wasn't there at the time of the crime. He's stating, give me 1 second, give me 1 second.
He's been locked up since when? 19 what?
Daddy.
Okay.
Can you hear me, Daddy? Hello? I don't know what's going on. But he's been locked up since 1998. So he's not saying that he did not, you know, wasn't there. she's saying that he didn't do the killing. So he's going now. He went for a clemency and everything, and they just denied his clemency. Hello, Gandy.
We heard, okay. You he's been locked up since 1998. And how long, and just for full disclosure, I know this brother. I don't know how far back, man, like family, man, you know. And how old were you? Your father? How old were you? And just give if you can. You've been on this show with us before. In fact, a lot of people talked about the time the last time you was on the show, that last closing remark, you know what I'm saying, it had impacted people, you know. You took us, you know, it was like a microcosm of how it impacted, you know, so that's how we look at the prisoner, you know what I'm saying, but how it impacted you, you know what I'm saying, the family, you know, so on and so forth. And how old were you when he was taken from the streets? And how has it impacted you and your children, your close vicinity of other people that you know? And I even tag in, jump in, like, you know, how, you know, my memories of him also. I'll let you start up.
Okay, so when my father first got locked up, I was 12 years old. Basically. You know, he just been, we've been talking on the phone. I go see him when I can and everything. I have three kids, 12, 9, and 8. He never seen my last two kids, my son and my other daughter. My firstborn, my daughter, yeah, they interact well. He called her and everything. But as far as, like, we need him in our life. I need him in my life, you know. I was raised, my mom raised me and did the best she could. She did an awesome job. But that's no like a father's love, you know what I'm saying? And a father's being interactive with me and my kids as well. Hello?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
So I was 12 years old when he first got locked up. He's been going from, first he was in Stateville, now he's situated in Danville Correctional Facility.
I know, particularly, well, let me jump in just real quick and say something. Let me add in something. You know, a lot of times I talk about these different situations, whether it be, you know, police murder someone in the community, a respective prisoner, so on and so forth. And some people here throw the stats and the facts out and give you a political assessment. And a lot of times people, don't draw the connection. They don't say, I mean, that the direct impact. And I try to say, yeah, everything is political. Even if it seems to be personal, you know what I'm saying? And, like, this one of the brothers, you know what I'm saying, in my community that I know, that, like, just even that presence, you know what I'm saying, is a certain, backbone to it that, you know what I'm saying, that people can relate to. And this brother, I just lost his brother. Tell you how crazy this whole, what I'm talking about is tripping me out. Floyd, his older brother, man, is my man. I just commented when I go to this restaurant neighborhood, I still think about him a lot of times, you know what I'm saying? We grew up, Floyd Pettis, and their niece, his niece in Iowa, this case we talked about, you know what I'm saying, when she was murdered. And it's you know, it's a small world. Hello, we there?
Yeah, he can't come. He's not
going to
be able to call back in, so I'm just
going
to have to call him
right
now.
Right, you got it. Okay,
he just got locked back up.
Okay, all right. Well, then we got, okay. So, okay, Tyrone, okay, in the community, there are certain people, like, you know what I'm saying, that's like some backbone. Like, they talking about, like, even in house, I make a joke about, we make light about sometimes. I just seen a piece on Instagram with James Amos, who played James Evans in Good Times. And the guy walked in Jamaica, and the guy was telling James Amos, he said, man, you don't know just the impact you had on my family. You know what I'm saying? This is Jamaica. This is in Jamaica. The imagery of it, you know what I'm saying, the household, you know what I'm saying? And even, you know, when I spoke at the funeral services, we did a repast on our own. We went to the Murray Park. We did our own thing for Stanley Tookie Williams, co-founder of the Crips. And certain, a lot of times people, like people talk about, like, even, as I said, you know, Tookie grew up in a climate similar to the, I and many others grew up in, deprived of such organizations as the Black Panther Party. And there's a lot of discussion, like, even now in Chicago, people saying, what do you think the impact of people such as Imam Malik, a.k.a. Jeff Ford, Larry Hoover, they to be released? And obviously, that's how people have a reactionary assessment, like, can they stop the violence? Can they do this? But the reality is, There's a certain people, even clinically speaking, they're talking about the pheromones that men release, you know, just clinically, their presence. And in certain people, you just see even the aura, how it impacts the community, just their presence. We were doing a protest one time on City 6th in Halsted, and some older brothers were coming down, and they were demoralized. I didn't say they were both fiends, they were, you know, struggling. Demoralized, you know what I'm saying? That's a term. Everything is political, your terms, everything. And one brother picked up his banner. He said, man, free Jeff Ford. And the other said, free Larry Hoover. And these were older cats. And they were going through some trouble. And you could see the tension. And one brother said, Champ, won't you? I said, be cool. And the brother said, Champ, I said, be cool. But you seen throughout the process, both of these individuals, and you seen being, people around them, they were, again, they were demoralized. But just with the mention of certain names, you seen them raise up like their backbone straight now. You can see they even had a, like, even the sisters and people around them, how they were impacted. And then it was kind of getting antagonistic. And I grabbed a microphone and I spoke. This is, I said, free them all. And you seen this unity. And my brother said, damn. He said, Chen, why did you? I said, no, that was necessary. Certain things, certain contradictions are necessary. You need to heighten the contradictions. A lot of people try to nip it in the bud prematurely. But these individuals' names, it impacted them in their lives. You know what I'm saying? You can see the way it impacted. It's a piece on National Geographic one time where these elephants, elephants were going through, they call musk. It's like equivalent to puberty. These were no bad elephants. They were just bumping. They just start bumping each other. They're teenagers. They bumping each other. And then just the one, they brought one bull. They put the head elephant, his presence down there. And you can see the whole atmosphere change. Just with the presence. This brother Tyrell, I know that from the, again, there's certain forces that even from how it benefits the community. Like, you know what I'm saying? And that's how we start looking at the story. Like, when Tupac said, Brendan got a baby and he gets it, how did that impact me? A lot of people get it subjective, like, well, it ain't my baby, you know what I'm saying? But the impact of the community, certain forces, you will hear certain names, how can you say, not just out of physical, not out of physical fear, but has set the atmosphere, had impacts, you know what I'm saying? And it helps even set the balance of a community, something that we have been snatched from. One of America's policies is to create chaos, then restore order. Create chaos, then restore order. When they go to Afghanistan, they destroy all the structure, and they grab certain individuals. The one they put as the president, his brother was the biggest, the most slimy dope dealer, you know what I'm saying? And they put him in place. In our communities, they grab certain forces, take, you know what I'm saying, destroy them. Even with the case of Larry Hoover, you look at the night that Larry Hoover, when they came through, it was references Operation Headache. When the former Attorney General for Northern District said on TV, I was in Centralia, excuse my English, I was in Clantralia Penitentiary, and he said, Attorney Jim Burns, he said, prepare yourselves for nationwide violence. This is like literally. He said that. You can see the trickle-down impact throughout the prisons that day. I'm talking about literally. We in the phone, we hear stuff that's going down in the community. You know what I'm saying? Just the same. Chicago was one of the last major cities that crack cocaine was introduced to. You know what I'm saying? And you look at the time, they had to kill Fookie Stokes and lock up Jeff Ward, a.k.a. Imam Ali. So when we talk about these different forces, different people in the community, how it impacts, you know what I'm saying, the community. So I'm going to give you an objective analysis on that. Now, fast forward, case in hand. What's his status now? Okay, a potential lawyer. Where are we at with this here? I know there's a hard hit about that clemency being denied. So what's the status now, Tyrone Pettis? I need the ID number. We do that last with three right now. What's the status? What can happen? What needs to happen?
Okay, so the ID number is N5785. Hello?
Type that in on your page. Type that in for some listeners. Oh, no audio? Oh, man. Shit. Hold on. No audio? No sound? Damn. On Instagram. I don't have that happen. Someone must have called. Shit.
Huh. So it's N5785.
Have
I repeated
again?
Please, and
type on your page.
Okay, N52785. Okay.
Type on your page also. Now, what needs to happen? Where we at?
Okay, so we got a lawyer now. The lawyer said it's a destiny chance that he can help us out. So he needs 15 for the whole case and 5 to start right now. So basically, we're trying to get
the
money.
Okay, after the clemency was denied, the lawyer says a chance. What's the lawyer saying?
The lawyer, we just talked to the lawyer this morning and asked him, was it a definite chance for him to help us? He said it is. But he needs 15 for the whole case, 5 to start.
What is he fighting for now? Is he fighting for immediate release, clemency? Do you know what he's fighting for? What he's fighting for now? Do you know? I know the definite thing to get him back home. But what in particular is he saying? But how you want to go with this now? I don't know if you were ready to disclose that yet, or what's the case? But you say he can help. Can we want to make sure you get a concrete commitment on what? What can he do with the case? You know what I'm saying? So I don't know if that's been discussed with. You may want to make sure we follow up with that also. Get a concrete. I mean, of course we're not going over to the wall and say, say do or die. But we get some particulars. We'll be talking about with that, and some sort of time window. I know that's up in the air too. It'd be real crazy with that. But so we get a time window. What are you talking about? And if you told me, what are we fighting for? Clemency, pardon, based on innocence, whatever the case may be, so we can put out that to the people in particular. And there's $1,500 for the entire case, and he said $500 to start up with?
No, $15,000 for the entire case, $5,000 to start.
Forgive me while I'm talking to you. I'm moving too fast. You said lawyer. I should know that through the door. A lawyer, my fault. I don't know. I'm moving too fast. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to do that through the door. Lawyer, I don't know what I was doing. I'm supposed to do that automatically. My fault. Okay. $15,000 for the entire case. $5,000 to start the case.
Correct.
Now,
right.
Is it okay? Is it a site or a social media, a contact, the people you need contact with, you any or whoever. Give his contact also. We're putting it in. Who's the point person for the case? We need that also.
Okay, yeah. So I'm going to type in all the information. We accept that any donation is possible. Anything to help us is greatly appreciated. I'm going to send in all the information you guys need. I can give you the lawyer information. Right now, me and my sister is dealing with the case, and my uncle, too, my Uncle Alfred, my uncle dog. So, I mean, you can send it to either one of us, and we can give it to the lawyer, or you guys are more than welcome to send it to the lawyer, straight, direct.
Where that information be posted at? Where can we find that?
I'm going to type it in now. I'm typing it in now. I'm typing everything in now. The number.
Okay. And say it one more time those who are listening. Say it one more time. His ID number and where people, a page they can find all this information there. Say it one more time for us slowly.
Okay. So his name is Tyrone Pettis. His ID number is N52785. He's in Danville Correctional Facility.
Yeah, you're right on, right on. We hear you loud and clear. Yep.
Okay.
So post it up, and then retype all the information. Why they can contact you? Ways that people can support GoFundMe, whatever the case may be. That's on your page, or your sister's page, or something.
So it's on my sister page. I shared it. I actually shared it and, you know, try to tag you into it. I don't know if the GoFundMe is still up now because they were giving her some problems saying this is not a good source for a GoFundMe account. Like, the case that we pleading is not good for a GoFundMe page.
Well, this avenue is always open. Keep us posted, you know. So regardless of, you know, we talk, you know, saying tag, you know, say again. I just talked to him the other day. I know that was a hit. Regardless of that clemency, I talked to him before the clemency was denied. I know that was a hit, but I talked to it was man. He a soldier. He gonna go back in the corner, get a shot of water, come back out swinging. Again, Tyrone Pettis, y'all. You know what I'm saying. So to keep us posted, again, call us with updates, you know, say any upcoming court dates or how the fundraiser for the attorney is coming, so we get the word out.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, I got you. So once again, I'm
right on this. Free Tyrone Pettis for your mom. I need you to make sure you put all the information up there. Correspond with him also directly. Put that in. Those on my Facebook. If y'all hear it, type it on Instagram for us also, y'all. And Street Art, you know what I'm saying? Put the word out. We live and direct on Free Mall Radio, making history, taking history, taping history, live and direct. 929-477-3785. Press 1 to get in. All right, these keep us posted. The line's open.
Fremont, Chairman.
Any closing remarks? Yeah, Fremont, yes.
Fremont, we have a couple more callers in queue.
Ready, callers in queue. Yo, come on, callers. I've got my number.
Hello. Fremont. Chairman.
Hello, welcome to Fremont Radio.
Hello.
Yes, welcome to Fremont Radio.
Hello. Can you hear me, Chairman?
Hello, can you hear me? Hello? Yes.
Can you hear me, Chairman? Hey, Chairman, this is Squeaky. How you doing, man?
I'm well. Yeah. Who is this again?
This Squeaky.
Yes.
I'm out in Maywood. I'm in Maywood,
Illinois. Okay, you know me. Okay, Squeaky, talk to me.
Yeah. This is what I wanted to tell you, Chairman. You know, Raymond, he's running for trustee in the village of Maywood, and you know we need your support. You're an activist out here, and we're supporting the museum and everything, and this Squeaky. And I wanted to know if I could put a couple of his posters in your yard, man.
Okay, hold on. Give us a background. You speaking? Give us a background on that. Welcome to my radio. Tell the people, as a servant of people, I owe the people to give them a background. You know what I'm saying? Who you're talking about, what's going on. So let the people know who you're talking about, you know what I'm saying? I'm a servant, not a dictator, you know what I'm saying? So I had a conversation with brother 2 years ago.
I know what you are. I work with you personally and up close and personally.
I lay out the information so the people can make an informed decision. You know what I'm saying? See,
yeah.
That's what I had a conversation with a brother the other day. He said, man, Chairman, who you at? We're not discussing about electoral politics in general. And he said, Chairman, who you at? I said, listen, I got such respect, and I don't take it for granted with the people. If I just say, man, let's go with this and this and this, we want to heighten the contradictions. We want the people, heighten it so the people themselves can make the choice. So I need you to lay out the case. Why would people, you know, saying, to the people? You know what I'm saying? We want, you follow me, sister? You follow me, school? You follow me?
I follow you. I got the information right here. Yeah, I got
you. No,
you
hear me? I'm telling you for the people. No, I lay it out to the people right now. See.
Okay.
A lot of communities.
I'm one for the people.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. This is for the Maywood Forward Party 2023. We are supporting Raymond Ray Williams. He's an ordained minister. He's the director of the CEIU Union, Local 73. He went to Proviso East. He's the SD89 Proviso East Alma alumni. And he works for Ray Mills Enterprise. He's the CEO. He's an activist. He's a coach. And he mentored the youth out here in Maywood. Then we have Tori Guerin. She's a youth program coordinator. She just opened that game room up there on 11th, where Tina Hunt used to be, to get the kids off the streets so we could stop the killing and stop the gang banging. She's the owner of DNA Snacks Corner. She owns that corner store. And she has a youth group called Yours. And she has a nonprofit. She's a nonprofit founder, and she's a foster parent. And we have another young lady. Her name is Shaban Reyes Plummer. She's currently a village trustee. She's into equities into the arts advocate. She's a Spartan Booster Club vice president. She's an ALP manager. She has an ALP managing partner, and she teach ESL classes. So, but Raymond,
Are there any events or panel discussions that go on with people who come next, or there's also people who have inquiries that people may have to come talk to these individuals directly?
Yes, I'm gonna let the current trustee of the library board, his wife, she can give you insight on that. Can you let them know when the next debate is? When is the next debate?
The Proviso Township will have a debate this Saturday, and they will all be speaking then, the Proviso Township.
Give me a second. We're looking for a forum. They have a forum in the Proviso Township
this Saturday.
Address, please, if you can. Address, please.
Yeah, I'm looking for it right now. Give me a sec. Yeah, give me a sec. I'm looking up the address right now, Chairman.
No problem. While you pull it up, let me say this to our listeners.
Okay.
This is the type of discussion we have to up to ante. I don't know if people were tuning in last week, especially this and last Monday, in regards to Chicago election. And we had people calling in with some actual positions about, you know, when he, you know, saying in regards to how the, you know, we didn't go through all detail about the tip, but particularly like crime, so on and so forth, tangible dynamics. A lot of times, the black community has been devalued to the point where Hillary Clinton, personal political also, when she pulled a Bible hot sauce out of her purse and people threw a gospel song around, so we have to up the ante. Where people say, informed people, information is raw material for new ideas. It's a different, like, we distinguish politics from electoral politics. But you, a lot of communities, they come to play, they say, okay, well, this is my position about things, the tips, the tax increment fund, so on and so forth. Sometimes in our community, politicians would come in through the blood building way, throw a T-shirt out,
Yeah, we got the address. The address to the forum
is
Saturday, March 11, 2023 at noon. It's at the Cement Mason Union at the Meeting Hall, 739 South 25th Avenue in Bellwood, Illinois. We can be contacted at every point.
Okay, hold on,
Mr. Smith. Say that again.
That's a Bellwood?
Yeah, it's in Bellwood. That's where the forum is going to be held, at the Cement Mason Union.
For those who listen, international listener audience, Bellwood is a surrounding suburb. It's right next door to Maywood, technically, right next to Maywood. Can I just give you one more time, please, one more time, in that time again?
Okay, it's on March the 11th at noon. The address is 739 South 25th Avenue in Bellwood, Illinois, 60104. And our website is the info. It's info at provisodems.org.
We live and record free on my radio. Okay, so okay, we got the other light. If you listen to us, if you're viewing us, you can also type. Okay, you got two more calls along. Oh, okay, right on. You can, okay. Type if you're viewing, you can also type post it up on one of the Instagrams or Facebook, one of the social. We being heard and viewed, audio and visual. So I don't know if you're on social media with us also, but you can retype it up on whatever social media website you want also. Repost it, type it up.
Okay, thank you, Chairman. But let me just say this about Wayne.
Let me just say this about Wayne.
He wants to enhance safety and health. He's developing economic opportunity. He's addressing all commercial corridors. He's pushing for infrastructure investments, and he's building on community engagement. And he fought for the minimum wage. We got that minimum wage, that livable wage passed for $15 an hour with his efforts. Again, he's the director of the union, SEIU, and we're looking for the support. And we thank you for all of your help, Chairman. So I want to talk to you about putting this poster, too, in your yard.
Okay, so I might not be in town next because there's somebody at the Hampton House all the time to follow up with. Yep.
Okay, then. Thanks. Thanks, Chairman.
I'm there today tomorrow. Peace and love, Cortez Rice. Shout out. Okay, my sister, brother, let me put the word out. Tell everybody to tune in every Wednesday here, Free My Radio.
Okay, thank you, Chairman.
It's actually Cortez Rice, Bianca Austin. Let's call in. Real shout out, y'all. Bianca Austin, family member, cousin of Breonna Taylor. I know y'all got to know who that is. We had a phenomenal panel last week, y'all. The family of Emmett Till, George Floyd's family, you know what I'm saying? Cortez Rice and Bianca Austin, they pulled in. Jacob Blake, shot seven times, Wisconsin police, pulled in. If y'all can, they ain't going to say it themselves. I need somebody to post up their respective foundations that they work with. Type that in. I'm personally putting out a political call to support these different. They pulled up last night. It was a phenomenal event. It was a stage. The widow of Chairman Fred Hampton, according to Jerry, was on the panel. I had to leave after Detroit, and it was good hands. Comrade Cool narrated, convened, emceed it. Put them different sites up for me. SaintHamptonHouse.org. I need them. Families United, go to Bianca Austin Page. I knew we need support. Look, man, this is a stage for the pain and power. I hope y'all heard the families, man, the families that was there represented. We got a video posted up for y'all to get ASAP. I think it's give me a call in queue. Give me the first three digits. Nate Sanders. Okay, give me the first three digits, y'all. Call in queue.
Free Mall Chairman, we have several callers in queue. Caller in queue, 563-513.
Yeah, that's me right here. Yeah, can you hear me?
513?
Yeah, 513.
Yes, sir, 513?
Right here. Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Okay, who's this again?
This young Myron. This is Floyd and Ty brother. Yeah, this...
Okay, what's going on, bro? Hold on, he called. Hold on, nigga. Hold on. Talk to, okay, one second. Hold on. Fremont, I'm on the radio right now. I'm on the broadcast right now, but call in radio right now. I'm on live right now. Call you on the radio. Yeah, yo, Fremont. Okay, talk to Brother. Okay, I'm going to put Nate Sanders too. Okay, welcome to Fremont Radio. Yes, yes. Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me? Can you hear me, Chairman?
Yes.
Yeah,
you loud and clear.
Yep, all right, beloved. Again, this is Myron Pettis. This is Tyrone Pettis, little brother. And I did hear my niece.
Okay, right on.
Expressing,
stressing that love and that extending her that need that we're looking for as a family for my brother's redemption as far as the situation is concerned.
Right on.
So as his little brother, I just want to do a couple of things. The first, I want to extend the gratitude from the family to you for everything you've done as far as with my brother as well as with my niece, Divina. You know, obviously, you extend your love in every way, and especially in your physical presence. And so, again, I want to make sure I express that gratitude from the family to yourself, beloved. You've always been one who stepped up in the signs of love. So I want to make sure I express that gratitude. But above all that, I want to extend that reach that my niece is trying to extend to your listeners and let them know that my brother is a man of learned lessons in his travel and his journey in life. And right now, anything, any means that we can gather up from your listeners, if they can extend from their heart to try to help us in that search for his redemption or his freedom, is what we're reaching out to the community for. So again, anything that y'all can do, any kind of contributions that you can extend to my niece, Tykea Pettis, if y'all can go through her means as well as through my brother himself directly, it'll be it'll be greatly appreciated. So I want to make sure that I express that from the family to your listeners.
Well, hey brother, first and foremost, I'm honored and I'm humbled to serve. Get a family. Definitely extend our love and greetings and respect. You know, so we go way back. We like family, man. So again, love, respect, and I'm honored and humbled to serve. Can't even say enough. You can't give his ID number, contact number, or his contact, not his number. Well, here it is, his number. Having contact him directly also, and let me just reiterate again to you and everyone, if you're here every Wednesday, feel free to call in, as we say, club in with us. So get in contact with us again. And love, respect to you and the family in general.
You already know, beloved, again, thank you for being a great big brother to me, and also thank you for the love. So we appreciate you, beloved.
Anytime, anywhere.
Yes, sir, in that order. No other way but in that order.
Yes, indeed. Free time on Pettis, free them all, y'all. As a matter of fact, type his ID number in there again for us. If you're on social media, or ask somebody to type his ID number in there again, you'll say, I'll read it again for us. And where he's at.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
all right.
Again,
yes, sir.
Yes, sir, beloved. We'll type that right in.
Right on. Love and respect, my brother. Free them all. Free Tyrone Pettis, free them all.
Yes, sir.
We live
in the way,
making history, taking history, and taping history, y'all. In that order. Free them all. Give me a 773-554.
Free them all, Chairman.
Free them all.
Yes, hello. Yep.
Yes.
This is Nick Sanders.
Hello? Okay,
yes, hello.
You, how you say the baseball or the baseball diamond? Who on deck? Who next? Okay, we coming in. Okay, talk to us.
Right,
welcome to Free Them All Radio. Who are you?
Yes,
give us the background. What's on your mind?
All right, yep. Nate Sanders. I'm with the organization called Soul in Action. And we're out here trying to encourage people to vote this time. So April 4th is the next opportunity to get out and vote. And what we want to just make people aware of, 1983 was when Harold Washington won his first time. 1.2 million people in the city of Chicago went out and voted. Nearly 90% of the registered voters came out and voted. Between that time and now, less than 35% came out this past election. Something has changed over 40 years. We believe that now is the opportunity for Black folks to be able to get back outside and vote the way that we used to, and understand what this voting and how important this vote is for us, especially with these two candidates that we have coming up. You know, we have one that's promising to send police into the neighborhoods and another that's promising to send money and resources into the neighborhoods. So we're calling in. I wanted to call in to just encourage people, like, now is the time to get as many people as we know to come out and vote and be a part of this opportunity to make a real serious change in the city of Chicago. And one more thing, and I'll let you, you know, ask any question that you would like, you know, but a lot of times people say, well, politicians make these promises all the time. No one has ever promised to resource and immediately upgrade Black Chicago or any Black neighborhood. yet in this, since Harold Washington. And in this opportunity, we have someone that is looking to change the power dynamic, send money to the South Side for the abandoned homes that are in our neighborhood, the abandoned buildings, the vacant lots, mental health opportunities, but to really fund and make sure we have what we deserve and the rights that we deserve. So that's what we're on, and really wanted to come and talk to your listeners, you, the audience, you know, about this important vote that we have coming up here in April 4th and what it could really mean for us as a population, as a city. Yeah, so that's what it was about, just to really call in and be able to talk to people about that. How does that sound, Chairman? And
right.
Thank you for this opportunity.
First and foremost,
yeah.
Thank you for the call. Question. You had mentioned, you had put in contrast timing now regards what did you say? Was it 1983?
Yes, sir. Yep.
Okay. You mentioned a few stats and facts. What was unique?
Yeah.
I know you just came into the one dynamic, but some of the unique characteristics of the time period, particularly with people in general, but in Chicago, with the black populace, you know what I'm saying, which is led to a political the machine politics that really throughout the years, many people have been disengaged, and as you mentioned, that was one of the high points in the period where people came out and engaged in electoral politics. I can point out, like, even in 1969, the time when people came out and voted against L.V. Hanahan, former state's attorney was brought in. The major dynamic was that the role of Hanahan, who was actually said to be the next mayor of Chicago, Mayor Davis' political water boy, the role he played, you know, with the assassination of Chairman Fred Dyfiske and Amar Clark, that really, you know, that motivated people. What are some of the dynamics that stuck out, you know, if you can, in regards to the 1983 election?
Yep, that 1983, people believed Harold Washington. They believed that if he got in office, and he was taking the seat from, I think, Jane Byrne at the time, and believed that when he got in office, that he was going to do what he said he was going to do. And that's the big thing, that
that was the last time an incumbent that only served one term, correct? Up until this recent election, if I'm correct.
You're correct. Correct. Yep, she got that one term, one opportunity.
You know, I'm asking, just trying to get a viewpoint of that climate. Second question: For those who may new phenomenon that they engage in, what is even the process? Do they voting? Do they go register, or do they mail in? What is it? You know, because many people, myself included, you know, so that we hear election time, we know that means that the police get extra hot. They come through. People are supposed to come outside, so on and so forth. In layman's terms, what is the process in regards to, you know, so just even people to engage in this process?
Yep. So Chicago is one of the beautiful places that have day of voter registration. So on the day of the election.
They have what?
Day of. Correct. Voter registration. So on the day of the election, you can go in, you can put your information down. You can register and you can vote. So now, if you are already registered, you can figure out where. Now you have to figure out where your voting precinct is. You can put your address into the Chicago Board of Elections, but they have ways to figure out exactly where your voting precinct is. So on that day, you do have to do some research. I'm even suggesting, I think people should take the day off, and you should come up with a day of action plan where you can figure out where you need to go. You can figure out where your aunties and uncles need to go, make sure that they've got a ride to the polls. I think this is that serious that we organize to make sure everyone that can vote, that is registered, has a way to get to the polls, and those that are not registered, knowing that on that day you could go in, you could register, you could get things taken care of. But I suggest people research now. Figure out where your precinct is. Figure out where you need to vote. But it is that important. And if you're not registered, know exactly where you need to go. That ChicagoBoardOfElections.gov really does help in explaining exactly what the procedures are for it. But, yeah, they do lie often about who can vote and where you can vote, and they try and intimidate people from voting. Another big difference between 1983 and now is that Harold Washington did win. And when he got in office, he did start to do what he said he was going to do. I believe there was an intentional attack. Something intentionally occurred that changed the voting habits from 1983 till 2023 today. I believe that they're not telling people as often. The airwaves have been bought out. The get out the vote campaigns that the normal Democratic Party or the big wigs, the celebrities that they do, they're not doing as they would. You know, they're not engaging and doing what they would normally do as gatekeepers. So in this instance, I do believe it's going to be up to the people to tell the people. Nobody is going to share this level of information, especially about the fact that Brandon is saying he wants to change the power dynamics of the city of Chicago. He wants to put the money that normally goes north, he wants to send it south. That, you think, would be ringing from the rooftops of all radio stations. But people, either they're not informed or don't feel that it's that important, or maybe they don't believe. And that could be it. You know, another big difference between 83 and today is that we've had so many liars. I talked to a brother today about this, and he specifically mentioned it was Barack Obama. Voting for Barack. And nothing changing?
Yeah. He was a joke.
Voting for Barack and more bombs on the continent than any other president? That makes you feel as though it don't matter. As though if you do vote, you're a sucker. And I understand that feeling. And that is a very tough place for all of us to have to deal with. But that's just a black man being in America, a black person living in America. Now, this time, and normally I don't engage in helping people choose a candidate. But in this case with Brandon Johnson, because of what's being said and what's being, and I am going to say promised, because you do have to make a promise as a person running for an elected position. You know, these are not politicians. These are human beings. Politics, politicians, that's a way of utilizing resources. The other way we can utilize resources is through community organizing. And that's what Brandon Johnson does. That's what y'all do. Community organizing, where you listen to people, you figure out what's going on, you figure out what are the issues, what are the solutions that can be done, and you go get what's needed to answer the issue. So in this case, and the reason why we're so geeked and really trying to get as many people out here to vote is because we have a person standing in off, standing as a candidate that is saying, I'm going to fight for you and promising. So, yeah, that's what it is. I know I took up more than the other people that have been calling in. Hello?
Let me combine these last two questions to one question, which real quick. You said something about the voting polling place. Some states people can actually vote wherever they at. So there's a certain area. So just say you listed somewhere, you stay somewhere else. You have to vote in that particular location, correct? A certain precinct, correct?
When you move, correct. You have to register wherever you're last registered to vote at. Now that's
once, okay.
That's
good. So okay, so contact her, find the help to for the finding your polling place. Okay, so some people don't know where the place is at. So to find that, say someone okay. Now another major concern a lot of people in the community. Say someone is incarcerated or in jail fighting a case. What's the status with that? Because you know there's a lot of information continuously about that. Like say if you're convicted or you're fighting a case, what's the status of that in Illinois?
Mm-hmm. In Illinois, now when your case is over, you're allowed to vote. If it's still in process, I think you still have to figure that out. But if your case is over, you're allowed to vote. And if you're in jail, so if your case hasn't even come up yet, you're allowed to vote. That's the easiest way to put it. I do think like there's we have this conversation.
There was some recent contradictions in regards to the infamous Cook County Jail in particular, with people being pressed. So people might be heads up in the county jail, like for, being locked up on certain days, so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. And ironically, April 4th is which should be a national holiday also. That's the day of assassination for Dr. King.
Wow.
1968, April 4th, 1968. One more thing on that. Oh, what did I just see? Oh, okay. So it's okay. So people, as a felon, okay, you can vote. That's catch clear on that. You can vote.
Correct.
As a felon, correct?
Correct. And okay, I will tell you this.
Mail-in voting for those who, elderly in particular, those, people like that, come out, whatever the case may be. Mail-in voting, and there are certain things that people should take into account with the history of the postal service. Mm-hmm. Should they mail in earlier, or what they tell them should people be? Because I don't get the impression like everything is on across the table. That people should try to avoid certain mail mishaps, so on and so forth. So what should be like? What time frame should people look at? And how do they get a mail? You ask for a mail. You say, give me a mail-in voting paper. How would people get that?
Yeah, so all of that does come through that ChicagoBoardOfElections.gov. You have to sign up to be a part of the mail-in vote. But I would like to ask, Brother Chairman, if I can call back in next week, because I enjoy this Freedom All Radio. I'm glad. I know Sister Cassandra is the one who put me on to it. So, but yes, I would like to be able to come back for next Wednesday, call back in, and have these logistical questions to be able to answer.
No problem, because that's March what? No doubt. Well, under the condition that you call this week, you gotta make a commitment to put to other people to listen in every Wednesday, 6:30, 8:30, Freedom All Radio, live and direct. So,
yes, sir.
Under that condition, right on. Right on.
Deal.
Okay, so no doubt about it. We look forward to you calling back in with us next week, next Wednesday also. No doubt about it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'll call you back. I'm going to answer those questions about, all the logistics, because I do want people to be able to set up, their election day plan. And I think that we got to make sure our aunties can go, our grandparents, everyone, people that normally don't get a ride, and even the young people. So 18, mm-hmm. if you're new and registered, and you didn't vote this last time, we want to encourage just everyone we can to vote. So I want to call back next week. I'll have more logistics so we can help people get that election day plan together.
Right on. And that commitment after the election, continue to call it, because this is a continuous program. So again, Freedom All Radio every Wednesday. One of our old mottos used to be, tune in to Freedom All Radio, the show that you cancel watching Empire, folks. The Empire TV show was a thing years ago. We held the line in. So we held the line even before this election and after the election. So every Wednesday, put the word on. We live and direct.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We'll do. We're actually here in the 8th Ward.
Any contact information you want to give? So people, just in case people have any questions before, before you. You come back in next Wednesday?
I'll get that to you next Wednesday. I got to work out and see exactly how.
No problem.
But yeah, right now we just want to make just that straight up get out the vote, want to vote, start having conversations with neighbors. We've been having some really good conversations with the simple question of, did you vote? Why not? What do you think about voting? But we deserve to start talking to one another about this very important action of voting. And then, like you said, even after voting, the actions that occur. But please start having this conversation with people, to all the listeners out there. Yes, sir.
So you're right.
Yes, sir. All right, man. Brother, thank you. God bless. And
thank you.
Actually, I want the people I'm here with. We're in the 8th Ward. They all want to say hello. Just say what's up. Yeah. All right, Brother Chairman. We love
hello,
you,
dude.
Yes, we love you,
respect,
sir. God
right
bless
back
you.
To y'all. Good in y'all voices. I need y'all to make y'all tune in. What is every Wednesday for your radio, y'all? Y'all reach out to hey, come on out to Hampton House. Check us out sometime. Yes, indeed. Right on.
Yes,
hey, y'all sound strong out there.
All right. Blessings, brother. Brother Chairman.
Right on. Thank you. Right on. Bless right back at you. We got the record free of my radio. The spirit of making history, taking history, taping history, y'all. Give me going to get a call. I get this young brother here, man. I got to get him in, get what he's doing. How you know what I'm saying? This ain't something that they, you know what I'm saying, they talking about on the mainstream news. And, again, from west side of Chicago, I was impressed, this young brother. I'm going to get the background of him. So, we got any callers in queue? I got to get some time with this brother here.
Yeah, Chairman. Yeah, we got two more callers in queue.
Call in queue. Tap in with us. Come on with it. As we say, curb on with it.
Bring him on, fellas.
I gotta get this brother here.
Bring him on.
Call in queue.
Bring him on radio. Yes, sir, Chairman, free him on. This is Devin Steele. I mean, tuning in with you, Chuck, man. Quick salute to you and the brother right there. And with the work, I heard a little bit what he's doing with the youth and all that. Try to rush through this Free Tyrone, free them all. Mumia, man, we got to speak on him. He means so much to me just in the work with the Black Panther Party in general, just understanding the politics that you've been laying down with us, Chad, and everything. Christmas salute to the Conrad coordinator, Chewy, to his birthday, 70. I ain't even know that. Come back, the guy who just called, it's interesting. I ain't trying to take too much time because I know we got to get the brother on now. But I had a question, I guess, for next week or whatever. What they always say is so important to vote and how powerful this voting is. I'm curious, man, what about not voting? What if we show that like, none of these people like really up for our interest as a people and none of that? And what if we encourage people, man, not to vote at all? What they say ain't the power in not voting too and showing like this system ain't working for us. And none of that, man. None of them speaking on the African anti-terrorist bill. None of them reaching out really in no way. They talk everything. Like Minister Huey said, man, picture worth a thousand words, but action is supreme. And I don't see no action really. You know, it's a lot of stuff. I ain't going to be arrogant and say they ain't doing that just because I don't see it. So I know, but just in the community of Maywood in general, like the sister that called her, I don't see none of these people at the Hampton House helping in the community. Not it's new, but the ones that's running and stuff like that. Like I don't see them making an effort with these children out here, these people out here on this chemical biological warfare that's engaged on our people. I don't see none of that. So if we took a sense, I don't want to vote for none of y'all until y'all speak on these issues. Nobody is really like just not speaking and showing like put going out there like we do, putting our life on the line, and you know, and not just during this time. And all that. So you said Dr. King got up, but this Dr. King Day, I think they should hold that. And on it, man, Dr. King, man, this, he wants to tell us all this, like, man. So, I mean,
let me touch on a few things. Right on for the call. You said a few things. First of all, let me reiterate the campaign for Mumia, long hair political prisoner, Mumia Abu-Jamal. He can't believe they family right there, so you for outlet. Okay. Yeah. the Mumia Abu-Jamal, long-haired political prisoner, Mumia Abu-Jamal. You mentioned I just talked to his grandson earlier also. Let's reiterate, I think there's a pressing court date coming up. There's a campaign going on that people need to send this drop to Love Not Fear. That's P-H-E-A. It's spelled P-H-E-A-R, I think. C-switch and let you see right here. Okay. Let me get this thought off, and then you'll say you can see right here, charging right there. This is best move, I think. Oh, you went over there? So look, Mumia Abu-Jamal, long hair political prisoner, be careful to drop. Mumia Abu-Jamal, who is a pressing court date coming up. So definitely reiterate that, y'all. Get that drop. It's a sound bite, 30 seconds to a minute. What is Mumia Abu-Jamal? You know, so if you don't know what it is, check out what it is. Tyrone Pettis, he's right on. You know what I'm saying? I'm glad you prefaced your question with all these, you know, saying these president cases we're working on. Comrade Chewy Clark, 70 years old, leads the work for Black Panther Party Cubs in New Orleans, you know what I'm saying, the Flyers, you know what I'm saying, those who can be there. It's going to be a political party, y'all. Real talk, that's in New Orleans, March 12th. A concern that a lot of people in the community have, and you know what I'm saying, a lot of times, like the black community in particular, you know what I'm saying, where people say, the politicians pop up, like I said, they'll pop up, you never see them, so on and so forth. What a position that the Black Panther Party Cubs had, I remember it was a big thing when they had a Vote or Die campaign. And people said, well, what's your position about the different politicians? You know, they run it. And we said, no, turn the tables around. What's their position about the African anti-terrorism bill? That's a piece of legislation that we authored for a while. What's their position on political prisoners? What's their position on reparations? Yes, so we should really make sure that people are armed and informed with information, or they have basic, you know, saying, these concrete, and don't feel, the people should not feel embarrassed or not confident to ask certain questions because they don't speak the Queen's English. In other words, we'll say, well, I don't know how to say it correctly, so on and so forth. You don't have to have a degree to say, what's your position about the police shooting this Laquan McDonald 16 times? You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
we got to heighten these contradictions. And we have to tighten up our political muscle. And you know what I'm saying? And the people, they have to, some people, they feel, like I said earlier, sometimes politicians feel like they just come through, put a bottle of hot sauce on their purse, like Hillary Clinton, or sing a gospel or a rap song. So I'm in lay person in the community. We should listen to feel, that's in a relationship. I'm saying that's basic stuff. Like, okay, one thing about us, one of the party line is no respect, no rap. Whether it be the movie industry, the music industry, this should be something that we should hold consistent to any entertainer, any artist, any athlete. What's your position in regards to our people? You know what I'm saying? A lot of times people say, well, you can't say black, you know, whatever. Former U.S. President John F. Kennedy, he made no bones about it, about the Irish community, the Irish connection. You know what I'm saying? It's like this coded word. We have to up the ante. It should be armed with a confidence, a political muscle, you know, to ask certain questions, to call certain questions, you know what I'm saying? And that's what people be around and don't say nothing. We look at the Obama administration. People say, well, wait till the next term. Or he's speaking in cold words to us. You couldn't pull that. Or you couldn't pull them type of tights on the drug strip. You couldn't go through somebody's community and say, listen, man, I'm going to go get out on y'all block right now. You know what I'm saying? But I'm going to reach out to these other cats, these other communities, and I got you on this go-round. You know what I'm saying? He said, hold on, man. You just come here, and I'm going to be satisfied with your look. So we definitely, I wish it could be a unified call, but I would even look for even if it's just the individual say, wait a minute, what's our position? You know what I'm saying? On this here. And now people say, well, I don't know. We don't know what's the issues. You don't have to have no PhD. You don't have to have no degree to say, wait a minute. You mean last week, two people that died up in the county jail? You know what I'm saying? If this is going to be made society with dogs get down there, which is right down cooking out of the jail, the dogs would say, hey, hold on, Jack. Hold on, man. Now, I know some differences amongst us between the poodles and the pit bulls, but we got something in common. There's too many of us down up in this motherfucker, man. You know what I'm saying? So you can't tell me if it was poodles in Chicago, the rapid murders consistently. If they told you 38 white poodles died last week, there'd be a world uproar. So these are basic positions that you'll say, and you ain't got to give me no, and these people ain't no big, would you you see a lot of administrations in the achievement, and it don't even exist. You know, we had Ralph Ellison talking about the invisible man. It's like we're not even acknowledged. Only thing we acknowledge is when the black and say crime happened. You know what I'm saying? It's no mix about the cartels' presence in Chicago. You know what I'm saying? There's certain that we have to, okay, look, man, that's up to Andy, man. You know what I'm saying? Because in some cases, really, something to the training, the building. You know what I'm saying? The property taxes. California somewhere, I'm buying a sandwich, a Subway sandwich. It shocked me they said $5. I say, oh, that's it really costs $5? The taxes, basic stuff, you understand? We have to instill this in our common day conversation. People say, well, I'm not political social. In a relationship, you know what I'm saying? You say, man, hold on, who is you? People say, well, I like this person. No, respect. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes most of them have such a lack of respect for us, they don't even feel like they can get a lot of us. They don't even feel like they can get a lot of us. It's a given that we're going to vote. So, again, it should be a common, we go to the poetry, we want to up the ante. The poetry sets, the barbershops, the pool halls, you know what I'm saying? The common conversation. So, man, just have these conversations. The county jails on 26th in California. This is not in Afghanistan. This is in Venezuela. In Venezuela, under Hugo Chavez's administration, it was a common conversation to walk around talking about the Constitution. You know, so they would talk about that. It was a clam in the 60s, the black problem in the 60s, where Andy was up. Entertain athletes. Muhammad Ali said, no, I am not going to Vietnam. In fact, no yellow man would ever call me a nigga. And he had to connect to the people. It wasn't, the tables were not turned. It wasn't, no, how can we get this dude, this football player, who's playing football in the NFL slavery, but how can we get him back on the quarterback? No. Entertainment. Anyway, you keep coming on any different rappers, only call us niggas and bitches all day long. Come on, man. Dude, it's the stakes are tight. Too high. And so recognize in this thing it was electoral politics, entertainment, sports, it's cold red. So you know what I'm saying? So again, let's call it on tomorrow, radio stations, y'all. Call it, make this easy in, use the terms, man, police terrorism. What's their thoughts about this here? You know what I'm saying? The health care, you know what I'm saying? The programs not community. You know what I'm saying? I mean, anything, how is it? I mean, man, ain't no black business in our community. You know what I'm saying? You say, well, maybe okay, maybe we don't know how to do black business. Or maybe we, you know what I'm saying? You start saying, you go in, you say, hey, how many fucking merchants? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? That's up to ante. And again, not just with electoral politics, intertwined with everyday discussion. Just that you'll be surprised, it becomes contagious. And once we had a forum for Minister UEP News birthday, and we was there in Oakland, California. Myself, Mother Conrad, who were the cultural experts on the movie, said Judas the Black Messiah. We was Ryan Coogler. Before this, a lot of people said they had no frame of reference. It wasn't even a thought that people had any say so over their respective family members or people. They said, we do a movie on you. You don't say so. We have heightened the contradictions. When you say Frederica, the widow minister of UEP News, Frederica News said, no, it's a movie to my doing. The big cigar, they did not contact the felon, so on and so forth. So now the discussion is happening. And these are, we say, hiding the contradictions, not to be right in our faces. We don't say, but after a while, we started taking this norm. Asada Shakur say, with being oppressed, we have to continue to distinguish what's normal and what's abnormal. No other, you know what I'm saying? So in no other community. People can feel arrogant and say, okay, I'm running, I'm pulling a bottle of hot sauce in my pocket, or sing a rap song, and you're good to go. No, that's up to Annie. You know what I'm saying? We'd be surprised. I tell people, what concessions, and we have to be able, as Pastor Fanon said, to be able to accept the concessions without compromising our principles. And of course, this is the electoral politics, we recognize limitations with all of this. Again, we're talking about any entity, whether it be the music industry, the sports industry, the sports game, the electoral politics. You know what I'm saying? These are different dynamics. There's limited. So do not look at this as sort of an end-all panacea for our people, a cure-all. But let's up the ante. That our children, don't give me this stuff about people say, well, I'm not a registered voter, I'm too young to vote. It should be a climate. Again, a climate. That, you know what I'm saying? Where people say, man, that's, man, you heard the word. They study us. What's the word? What they talking about? Man, they talking about, I don't know, but they tripping about them motherfuckers standing up in the county jail like it ain't shit. They having an issue with this shit. They having an issue with saying motherfucking lead water. Motherfuckers having an issue. What you mean lead in the water? It's becoming a common conversation. The education, the schools, right. You know what I'm saying, the red line, how the trains, the transportation, the buses, the trains are going in one direction. You go say, wait a minute, why is there going on time? Because, you know what I'm saying, in the hood, it's fucked up. Why I can't find no fresh vegetables in my community? You will be surprised. Once we trigger it, we got bail. Yo, I never thought about like the movie Billy Holiday. They weren't talking about making no mention of the FBI in that movie. You say we up to end with Judas and the Black Messiah, because I tell they give these Tyler Perry sort of movies. It's in a bubble. You know what I'm saying? And then they make a movie about the mafioso, and they're talking about the FBI. No, this they got to be not worried. Not only we Jago Hoover was a fucking district attorney. His career was based on attack on Marcus Mosiah Garvey. Even if we're not the majority of the population no more in Chicago, we are influential in music, electoral politics. I mean, the way we move, you know, the fashion, everything. So even in the case of defeat, let the record reflect that we are saying that we have something that's basic shit. I'm going to say this in closing. Stephen Biko of the Black Conscious Movement said, black people in particular must grasp the ability to distinguish intelligence from the ability to articulate. Yeah, we might not can't say stuff about the electoral college and the different the precinct captains, so on and so forth. But again, yeah, we don't need no degree. They say, man, this shit fucked up. That was happening to them in the jail. Right through Inglewood. Look at the parks. Then go up north. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And if you can't go up north, you know what I'm saying, without getting stopped by the police, go up there and look around. Go to the park district and shit. Go to simple stuff. Go in there and see, like, bathrooms. Like, literally, bathrooms. You know what I'm saying? Go look at the exit to toilet paper. That's open. Oh, man, the county jail. Why does Sheriff Tom Dr. Reynolds incorporate that shit the fuck going up there? What's the big secret? What's the big secret? Yes, and this is 26 California. They got documentaries. They showing you all inside Afghanistan, Iraq, and the worst prison in Peru with this motherfucking clothes in there. This closet ass place up here. Mom just get them and get knocked out every damn day. 26 in California.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
So, like a child. They tell us, well, don't speak about that. That's bad. No. This seize the time. You know what I'm saying? Man, ease this into conversations. Libraries. That's for if they are in our community, we feel like we ain't supposed to go up in the motherfuckers. See, that's why Black Panther Party, the first example of free medical care, real deal example of free medical care.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Doc Satchel, that Minister of Doc Satchel had the motherfucking thing, a people's advocate. You came to that medical center, Black Panther Party, he made sure you were taught to respect. Okay. See, it's institutions like sisters called Mel Day Summer. They got a nice center over on the west side. It's real nice. You come over there and check it out. Man, she went back over. They said, oh, no, ma'am. How much fee you got to pay for it? And she felt uncomfortable coming up in the motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? Nothing in our communities will make us feel comfortable. You would think many of us in college here, say, okay, since y'all live in this motherfucker, we'll help y'all, make y'all feel a little more comfortable. We can't feel comfortable in that motherfucker.
Man.
Any chair friends or anything in our community, man, if there's no need, the needs of the community, shouldn't be in the motherfucker community. Real talk. So let's call some basic shit. So they get some form, I think, tomorrow at the Sovereign Museum. I don't know if I'm going to make it now. Man, put them questions out there. If you need people on the radio show, ask your pastor. Don't let nobody make you feel embarrassed or bad because you're not saying the Queen's English. You're not saying the correct word or terms. You know what I'm saying? How are we going to deal with this shit with the motherfucker pulling us over, disrespecting us, shooting the motherfucker 16 times? Well, you're not saying the correct way. Yeah, come out there, that same confidence, that sister Diamond Lavish Reynolds.
Yeah.
When they killed Philando Castile, and they told her she did not see what she seen. Killed that man, and she said, the police told her, no, that ain't what happened. When she came out that motherfucking jail, with that ball and box, that box of Newport cigarettes up, they gonna get her head did, came out that motherfucking jail, say he killed them. Point blank.
Yeah.
So you walk in the county jail, she can be on the body bag. You know, man, and this is the ones that we know about. So let's seize the time, y'all. I mean, if a motherfucker went for dog catcher, if they were any motherfucking thing, you know what I'm saying? So, no, man, like, you know, as children, we say, okay, don't look, dude, don't ask that question. You know what I'm saying? Man, any motherfucker is rapping, that's up there. That's what I say, even after this election, let's start moving with that. You know what I'm saying? Even, man. You saying the word wrong? Well, okay. Well, I got to dress it up. You know what I'm saying, man? Let's call it what you do. So, right, I appreciate the point. And it goes with anywhere, Chicago, Maywood, Oakland. You know what I'm saying, up to Andy. We'll be surprised on what them. Go back and look behind Bridgeport, Canadaville. The white families over there, they would look there like the chains. Like I'm saying for real, like poor white families. When they get through that TIF money, they use the tax increment funds, they use black people's poverty numbers for, and they get through that money, you walk back through that motherfucking line, they got swimming pools in the backyard, nice house, all type of shit.
Yeah.
And you're the community, you know what I'm saying? I go place, I know, I mean, you go see some, look at the park, go look at that park on 59th and Wood, 15th Ward, all the rest. Man, it's dog out of that shit, man. Man, 59th Wood, that fucking park, man, mother got backyards better than that shit.
Yeah.
Danny, y'all. What's up, Danny?
Man, what?
Hey, call. Ooh, man.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on.
I'm going to leave out. I know we ain't got that much time. One more thing. Everybody mad at Kanye and R. Kelly, but they cool with Gabrielle and Dwayne Wade, man. This shit crazy.
You know, David Banner still talk about it. He said, "Are you be kind of man?" Yeah, my brother David Banner was there. Eric was the Eric about dude. They was going to need this. And man. And I real quick, I like this term Richard Pryor said. You know, he's a peopleologist. People don't. That's my tough. First contact. I pick him on some of these. You know what I'm saying? And you can see the disdain for black people. Put it Dwayne Wade had. You know what I'm saying? The first contact, you know what I'm saying? And even to the point, the sister that was with him, she tried to, the sister that was the publicist, whatever, she covered down. So she said, man, he don't, she said, hold on, champion. She made a contradiction, you know what I'm saying? And he's a lot, you know, and like, man, and I'm going to talk about that situation too. Yeah. But I know I'm going to get this brother in. I get one more call or two, though, right there also. But everything's political, though.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
Man, yes, sir. Free them all, champ, man. Free them all. Man, I love the team.
Free them all. One more call. Hey, I'm gonna get this young brother back in with us next week. I'll be dice with us again, and I want people to go do some research and tell that one call. Hold on, tell us what you did, brother. I want people to do some research on this here. Go ahead.
I got a therapy program called Initiating Change for Self, and what we do is we go into juvenile facilities. We go in local facilities, anywhere that we can reach at-risk youth, and our curriculum that I created is an 8-week one, and each curriculum have different points of reality in which to bring the kids to self-awareness, self-control, all in a way that they understand, like speaking their language. It's kind of like what their parents are saying, but I understand there's a conflict in between generations of the language. So it's the thing that their parents trying to say to them, but I'm saying it to them in a way that they understand it. And I got visuals for them so that it's easier, no matter if they have a different. So I got it in a way as to where each style is acclimate everything so that each child can get it, whether they're a visual learner, a kinesthetic learner, an audio learner, whatever it is, whatever they learn the styles is, I studied it and I entered into this program. And so far, it's been at 100% success rate, reaching our youth.
Let me ask you this. You mentioned that because they're generational. Mm-hmm. gaps of generation. Sometimes it's a communication breakup. Let me ask the elephant in the room. With the generational differences, I tell you, communication is hindered or broke off. Is this okay, even with the race question, you know what I'm saying? So is this something, but do we have to, like, input mental health, juveniles, so forth? Is that something that we have to be including in the conversation, acknowledging the race, the difference in the race contradiction? You know, is that something that also to be inclusive in that? And I'm prefacing it with so much care, because a lot of times when this comes up, people tend to dismiss it subjectively, like, you know, no, we all the same. So, but just, I mean, there's no issue that they acknowledge that generations have different ways of communicating, gender, you know, men and women. But that of the race question, how is that dealt with?
Man, I mean, we gotta be frank about that. Like, they live, like, different races live different styles. It's cultural, you know what I'm saying? And so I would say that when I say at-risk youth, I'm saying, like, our youth, our kids, because they don't have as much as influence around their negative neighbors. Like, for an example, like, when I was saying that I had studied forensic psychology, so I could study the childhoods of a serial killer, right?
Yeah.
And so they ended up, they turned into a adult, and they made multiple murders. And so I noticed in their childhood certain things that they didn't have that made them, maybe it was like at home, violence inside the home. As a matter of fact, I kind of looked at it into like a current time. So right now the music that we have, it glorifies people catching bodies and stuff like
that.
Them serial killers, that's not a natural thing.
It's not a natural thing.
And so it's like that's in our culture heavy, if we just being honest in it. So I feel in a way it's kind of like when I'm aware of something, I'm accountable for helping it if I have the skill set. God bless me in that area to be able to use me as a vessel in order to get this to these kids. And so it's definitely a big difference because they can't relate to what this child going through. And that's why I created the therapeutic curriculum from the other therapy company that I was working with. Because I'm like, these black kids can't relate to this. It's not their reality. Because it's like, man, it's like you, what can an older white woman tell a young black teen? You get what I'm saying? You didn't live his reality. You can walk outside and go do different things. But in our reality, people are intimidated of. You get what I'm saying? It's like, they see me, people will never think that, you get what I'm saying?
I do what I do,
whatever the case may be, because they're judging off my physical appearance. But it's the same with a lot of kids.
This is common, contradiction in regards to the medical, the judicial system, media. Why is it like even a hesitancy to even acknowledge it? Like, you know, in the judicial system, we're talking about the jury among peers. Like, it's not a question, like, people can say, okay, to be judged by your own peers, somebody says, well, it doesn't make a difference, don't you have a jury. Why is this something, what do you attribute it to, of not want to acknowledge that and say, okay, no, we're talking about mental health. You know, so like even that analogy you just gave about, you know, in regards to, like, even with the rap, if you listen to it, you know, so like this is a white guy named Pastor Mike. His name is Pastor. He says the lyrics of some of these songs, and with him saying as a white person, the vernacular, his vernacular, just, damn, he's talking about killing all of these people. You know what I'm saying? And it's a different impact. But you know, so with the beach, it becomes normalized, not community. What do you attribute to a fight not to be acknowledged? Or you just even mention it, like, oh, you racist, or don't say that. You know, what are we talking about, culture? You know, in India, two men walking down the street holding hands is a different dynamic than this one on the streets. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it's not, it's different cultures. And cultures, like, the balance of it, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like in certain things, you know, in Islam, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, our relationships, our view, and you put that in context of what it is, it balances out.
Right.
But the black community, you know what I'm saying, in particular, is forced to say, okay, just make do. You know what I'm saying? Take that, okay, I know you're saying you don't eat this sandwich, but say this food is good, so on and so forth. What are you a trip? And brother just told me, this channel, you be asking questions, but you be throwing about 10 questions at one time. And I crack on, I think like Mos Def, I know you said Ryan Coogler, Brian be doing that too. Like there be so many thoughts, you like you was like jamming them in. So I know I threw a lot at you, but
alright. So I would like just culturally, right?
Yeah.
So I would say like our culture has been so manipulated.
Yes.
By like things that we don't even have access to, and the main way to get to like the kids is the social media. It's all about it's the portrayal of an image that's like accepted, or like this. If you're not this, then you a lame, you a swell. But in reality, it's like if they going up this much to like persuade our kids to something else, it's like, what are y'all hiding from us? Who are we really?
Yeah.
So I think identity, once we get our identity,
it's
over with.
Dig.
I'm talking about, but we all got to be a collective, like,
dig.
You know what I'm saying?
Dig.
And so much of
the identity.
Identity, that's what it is. So in my first session, at the end of it, I have five questions that I ask the youth to end it off.
Yeah.
The first question is addressing identity, is who am I?
Huh.
Ask yourself, who am I? Who are you? If somebody asks you who are you? You know what I'm saying? What would you say? How would you describe yourself?
Yes.
And it's like, and I let them know that that's going to change, because as life go, your mindset going to switch.
Dig.
And so the second question, we address where am I from? Not Africa, not America, not Chicago. So in the beginning, I kind of mentioned it. So in the beginning, I asked them, I'm going to bring it back, though. So in the beginning, I asked them, like, if you were, it's a picture of guys holding a casket, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I say, inside of this casket, this is the same person that was alive that you seen. What's the difference? And the kids be like, well, they look fake. They look cold. They don't look real. You get what I'm saying? They look stale.
Mm-hmm.
It look lifeless. They look empty. But they know it's the same person. Versus in life, they look like they full of blood, full of life, full of energy, got spirit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the first thing I establish is that we have a life force inside of us.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that's making us look different. If we're the same person but we look different, it's something that we get, right?
Yeah.
So it's a life force. And so with that being said, where are we from? Where does that life force come from?
Dig.
So that addresses the second question. The third question is, what is my purpose?
Huh.
So I use anatomy. Like, so I ask the kids, so me approaching the kids that's incarcerated, right? So I asked them, like, so if you was to race somebody, a million people, right?
Uh-huh.
A million people for your freedom, do you think you'll win?
Uh-huh.
Some be the most say no. Some try to say yeah.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like all different speeds. But I tell them, like, you won already. Anatomy, right? Million sperms, you was the one sperm that made it, right?
Yeah.
And so your reward was life. So now, what is your purpose? What is your reason for being here? And that's all in the fourth question, your potential. What's the thing that you would do for the rest of your life for free if you didn't get paid for it, but you just love to do it?
Yeah.
And so really, that's what I want to emphasize, helping these children find their purpose, their reason for being here,
it's
fulfilling.
Yeah.
It's like, if I'm good at something, and I know I'm good at something, I want to do it all the time. And you have no other choice. You have no other way of getting distracted. I'm not finna go slide with bro because I got something that I'm finna do.
Yeah.
And I love it more than what it is because I know who I am now.
Yes.
You get what I'm saying? And so it's really like what we doing right now, like having these conversations and really having a chance to really get that out there to these children, because, man, it's really major, and they need a lot of guidance like us, though. So
how old are you again, brother?
I'm 29.
29 years old. Hey, y'all, did this shit, man. Hey, it's been making history, taking this and taping this for y'all. We ain't to cut up. Hey, we gonna be back. He's going to be black in with us, y'all, again. Freedom on Radio from west side of Chicago, you know what I'm saying? Man, brother, man, give us some contact information, y'all. Y'all put the word out. We're going to be back on deck again. We done covered a lot of bases, y'all. We ain't the home run yet. We ain't free yet. We done hit electoral politics. Mumia Abu Jamal, Tyrone Pettis, Comrade Courtney Latour in New Orleans. Hey, we ain't central. We in coast to coast. In fact, outside of that, in the spirit of internationalism, y'all, you know what I'm saying? We're talking a worldwide fight, but again, we cover a lot of places. But again, give us some contact information, my brother.
Yes, sir. You can reach me on my Instagram at ICFS Consultancy, or you can reach me at GZ Daniel on Instagram. My email is initiatingchangeforself@gmail.com. And if you reach me, oh, yeah, I also got a website at icfsconsultancy.com as well. If you reach me on any one of those platforms, I'll provide you with my number and we can have a conversation.
What does that feel again? You in? I want y'all to do some research when you come back so y'all can be more informed. What does that feel again?
I graduated forensic psychology.
Forensic psychology. All right, y'all. It's a homework assignment. Check it out. And also, we're going to be talking about some updates on electoral politics and the machines in Chicago in particular, maybe with other places, y'all. Hey, remember, up there, y'all, you know, say these are some questions, basic questions that we can ask people. They're talking about, man, it's the temptation song, ball of confusion. There's a line that says, vote for me and I'll set you free. And we got to jump in and say, hey, Diddy, what's your position about the Cook County Jail? What you doing, saying about those going, man, basic stuff in our communities, you know what I'm saying? Man, politics. Politics is food, clothing, and shelter. It's a means of survival. How you view it, how you do it, if you get it, don't get it. You know what I'm saying? Again, y'all, be another powerful episode of Freedom on Radio, Live Network, Intellectual Radio, in the spirit of making history, taking history, and taping history. Again, it's an honor, and I'm going to serve. So give us something to take us on that week, y'all. Same time, same station next week. SaveHamptonHouse.org. SaveHamptonHouse.org. Hit that donate button. Don't be scared of it, y'all. It's called Freedom All.
But I know